This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking forward to the weekend. Thursday was Thursday, Thursday. Today it's Friday, Friday.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Mention inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store, I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, well, listen. The brain is an amazing thing. Have you figured out yet what you did? No, you haven't.
With my life?
What, you haven't.
What kind of question are you asking me here?
The brain is so cool. We're talking middle names. And you bring up how you don't really know middle names that well. Ted Williams is your all-time favorite, and you can't think of his middle name. I said, I think it's Samuel. But that was after, I believe, you said Langhorne.
No.
Samuel came first?
You said Samuel first.
All right,
yeah.
Fine. That's even better. I said Samuel, and he's like, it isn't Langhorne? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, it isn't Langhorne. Who's Langhorne? And then, you know, we went to commercial. And at the commercial, I said, who is Langhorne? Where did that come from? And you said, I don't know.
No, well, I don't want to ruin your story. Go ahead. I didn't exactly say I don't know. I said while you were talking about the middle names, I was over here thinking, well, as I said, I don't have this. I was over here thinking, I don't know Ted Williams' middle name. Well, whatever. I'm on the radio. What's the stupidest middle name I could give Ted Williams? And the name that popped into my head was Langhorne.
Yeah, and who's Langhorne?
Foghorn Leghorn.
See, that's what we said. Like, so right. You don't know who Langhorne is.
Right. No.
So I say I think his middle name is Samuel.
Yeah.
You're like, Langhorne. Off the air. Who's Langhorne?
I don't know.
Samuel Langhorne Clemens is Mark Twain.
Okay.
You have heard that.
Sure.
Samuel is Ted Williams' middle name.
Okay.
Langhorne was his middle name, and Clemens was a Red Sox pitcher.
Okay. But it isn't all, it's not, there's not a straight line here because I thought of Langhorne before you said Samuel. You said what his middle name actually was, I was over here trying to think of it and decided I'm going to go with Langhorne as just to be an idiot.
Here's what I think. I mean, it's your brain, but
all right.
I think you said right there, you're like, I'm just going to think of like the silliest middle name, right? And you thought of Langhorne. Somewhere in your brain, you knew Ted Williams' middle name was Samuel.
Sure, I've read it probably dozens of times.
So in your brain, you couldn't retrieve it, but you knew it. It was in there. And you also know Samuel Langhorne Clemens. And the Clemens, I don't know if the Clemens part
right.
matters, but there is right. a Red Sox tie.
Yeah, right.
It was all up
I
there.
See. Yeah,
it was all up there.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Langhorne.
Really, I'll buy that.
Right?
Yeah.
It was all in there.
I also saw somebody tweet something about Foghorn Leghorn.
Today,
yesterday, a week ago. Time is a never-ending churn to me now. I cannot pin down when things have happened that I see on Twitter because I can't. I have no idea.
But that's Leghorn anyway.
Right, that's right.
No relation.
That's right. That right. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a Leghorn Langhorn? That I don't know.
Well,
Dr. David Chow's middle name, Langhorn, Leghorn, Chow, MD, DDS.
How nice to know.
Let's go to picks.
Oh,
what if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Through 7 weeks, it is tied in the picks competition. Wow.
What a race.
What a race. So I had a one-game lead. You made a game up last week. Who goes first?
Should we flip? Want to flip for it?
No, I don't want to flip for it. Just decide.
Okay. All right. I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get these out of the way.
Out of the way.
Yeah. I am not. I mean, I don't know. You for years. Let's fill. You know, fill this in for everyone. Have pretty much. Looked at the lines when this segment starts and done your picks, right? Like that's
yes, that just happened.
That's pretty much what happens. For I don't know, the first half of our time together doing these picks would actually like write down what I liked about the pick. Like I would like formulate thoughts about the games and be ready to like talk about them like someone on television would, and like had stuff I wanted to say about the games.
But then you decided that was really stupid.
I figured out that was really stupid.
Big waste of time.
Then like for like the 5 years after that or so, I still spent a lot of time, but I never wrote anything down. But I would like look at the games and whittle down the list of NFL games from, like, whatever. There's, like, 12 games, you know, with buys considered, or 13 games, whatever there are. And I'd be like, okay, well, like seven of these I feel good about. And then, like, pick. I worked at it. This year, and I think last year, too, I still write them down ahead of time. But, like, there's no thought really at all. I just look at the number, like, I like that. 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 And I'm done. Like it's sort of like you. I just do it ahead of time because I want to keep it in my phone so I have it. And I know I won't put it in my phone if I just do it off of the desktop live like you do. So I keep it in my phone. But
it's not even necessarily, or for me, I like that, I like that, I like that. It's more just like, fine, okay, fine.
Right? Well, sure.
I mean, do you follow people on Twitter who make picks against the spread and like try to reason with you as to why? I mean, what is a bigger joke?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This team, after a bye week, covers 64% of the time when playing a team wearing red. I mean, cure a disease. How about that? Take that time you spent. Just go cure a disease or something. You obviously have the capacity to figure things out.
Well, here are the picks.
Cure a disease. Sorry, yes. You wanted to go first, yes.
Sure.
You're still up. You're still up. I believe it's still your turn.
I just snorted. That's not. I don't know if that's ever happened before. I've laughed a lot in here. I don't think I've ever had. All right. Pull it together, man. All right. Eagles -3 at the Jaguars. Sure, right? Probably sucker city here. The Jaguars are getting run over. Come on. Philly's better than Jacksonville all day long.
You think?
Yes. Yes, I still think that the team, they're still in there somewhere. And it's a long enough season that I think it's going to come out. They are still good. They are going to win that division and be a contender by the time it's all said and done, the Eagles. I think it's all still there. Coach kind of bugs me a little. Like, he's a little too...
He's kind of on edge, Peterson, isn't
yeah,
he? He's been snippy lately.
Like, I thought he had like a really nice, even keel thing going there, but he's been kind of a little bit of a wacko about some stuff, but whatever. Eagles.
Kind of a bully in there.
Yeah, lately. yeah, right. Eagles -3 at the Jaguars. Seahawks getting 3 at the Lions. How am I doing on that? I don't have the standings open. I've got the Seahawks winning more than six.
You're 3-3.
You're the favorite on that right now. Seattle has straightened up a little bit. The Oakland win was real easy. They got the win over Arizona at the gun. They beat maybe Dallas too. I wouldn't bet under 6 on Seattle right now.
Yeah.
So I'd say you're the favorite.
This game, more than it's about the bet that we have on the over for the Seahawks wins, the Lions. I'm not sure I trust the Lions here. A home favorite against Seattle. Detroit, they can really throw it. They've got a lot of weapons there.
They're throwing it less.
Yeah.
They're throwing it less, right?
Yeah. But I just smell Seattle here. This game looks like Seattle all day to me, so I'm taking the Seahawks getting 3 in Detroit.
I like that game a little bit. That's a game you will miss if you go apple picking.
Or drive to Rampton, which is what I'll be doing. No apples. The Saints, it's a pick 'em. At least it was. You want to check?
Pick.
Okay, I'm going to take the Saints over the Vikings. I still love the Saints. And I don't know, the Vikings... I don't know. I'm not a big Cousins guy. So, Saints should have beat them last year in the NFC divisional round. They should have gone to the Super Bowl. So I'm taking the Saints. That's no way to make picks, kids. Don't harken back to last January when making picks.
Or doing anything.
Yep. Sure. Oh, that's right.
Don't live in the past.
I'm going to take New England. It's 13.5.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they are going to curb stomp the Bills. Yeah. I think we are going to be in here on Monday night at 11:30 taking calls from hammered people after the Bills lose by 30.
I don't. Okay. Really. I'm not that pessimistic.
Okay. So that's it for the NFL. College, I feel like I gotta pass on UB. They don't play till Tuesday.
Can't pick UB.
So that's off the table. I've been picking UB every week, and I've done great. Well, they've done great. Whatever. I've picked them. I'm gonna take Miami tonight.
Which Miami?
Miami, Florida. This is Miami, Florida.
Yes.
This is the Hurricanes.
BC, right?
-3.5 at BC.
Yep.
So I'll get that out of the way. Bank a win. On Friday night.
I don't like it.
You wouldn't.
No.
I don't care.
Okay.
Over to you.
Your time is up now. Finally.
I was dying to stop talking.
You should know that I think you're the favorite in the Seahawks bet because next to the Seahawks bet on the board, I've drawn a picture of you. That's what that connotes, that I think you're the favorite. See the picture on the board?
Yep.
That's you.
Yep. I look happy there.
Yeah, that's what that means.
Yep, I like that. That's me happy. That's your vision of me happy.
Well,
that's pretty good.
All right, here are my picks, and these really jumped out at me. Remember last week I said there was one game that I really liked, and I said that should not matter? It was San Francisco +10. They lost 39-10 to the Rams. That was the game I really liked. Was the 49ers.
This last week, like last Friday, that was, yeah.
I guess.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, last week, I said, this one game, I really like this game. I mean, people, though, like that get serious about the picks. Here are my specials. I am 14-17-3 this year. Okay, wow. You have a gift. Green Bay +8.5 at the Rams. Okay. The total's high. And the Rams' defense is suspect. So I'll take Rodgers there. He gets Allison back. He may get Cobb back. And eventually it's got to become Aaron Jones, maybe.
What is the number again?
8.5
That's big for Green Bay.
Maybe I'm a sucker here, but I will take. I'm going against the Rams, and I got crushed.
Yeah, I kind of like it, though. Yeah.
I'll take Rodgers at the Coliseum plus 8.5 there. Just, you know, let's see a football game there. I also will take the Saints. I like it less than I did, but I will still take it. Minnesota has lots of injuries. Big injuries on defense. Important players. And so Dalvin Cook is still out. That's not as important, running back. But I feel like Minnesota is vulnerable there. And are we supposed to think now, because Minnesota's better than Washington was, that Cousins is good or something? Like, really good?
No.
He's still not really good. He never was really good.
No, and I don't think he's ever going to be really good.
Lots of yards, but lots of mistakes. I mean, no plays with his feet. Like, I'm just not a believer in this player. I really do like Baltimore this week, minus 2.5 at Carolina. I think the numbers on this game are persuasive. The fact that Baltimore lost that game last week on the missed extra point, I mean, that's not like that's embarrassing at all to lose to New Orleans by one, but they are coming off that loss. I'm not sure the public is really buying the Ravens. And Carolina winning in Philadelphia, Carolina is having another pretty good season. So here you go with those things combined, and that the Ravens are favored on the road. I'm going to buy into that, because that is interesting. I think Joe Public might go, why is Baltimore favored on the road? So give me Baltimore. I like it when that happens. Pick four. I like the Redskins in a pick game at the Giants. They won for me last week, although it was just dumb luck the way that game ended with Dallas. They probably should have at least gone to overtime there. But they didn't, and that's another example of how meaningful NFL game predictions are. Washington, even at the Giants. How good is Washington?
No. Not good.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
I don't think they're bad. I mean, the defense is okay. The quarterback is okay. They've had injuries, and their record is okay. Like, I think they're... Yes or no, Washington playoffs?
No.
Let's bet it.
Okay.
I say yes.
All right.
I say Washington's in the playoffs.
All right. Fine. I'll bet that all day long.
All right. That just happened.
I hate them so much that I'm not objective at all about them.
That's another reason I like it.
Yep.
All right, and college... Florida is pretty good. It's been a while since Florida has been pretty good. And it's the game with world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
In Jacksonville against Georgia.
Right.
Get it on.
And Florida is plus 6.5. And maybe, I mean, I don't follow that too closely, but maybe there's a sentiment here that, like, Georgia is still on a higher level than Florida. Didn't Georgia just have a loss? LSU? I watched it.
Okay, sure.
LSU beat them?
Yeah.
Maybe those people are wrong.
LSU
Florida.
Beat Florida a couple of weeks ago, too, didn't they? Didn't they play? They played the 3:30 time slot a couple of weeks ago, I think.
I don't know. Florida, this means nothing. Florida plus 6.5
right. Of course it does.
Against Georgia.
Why did I even try to add to any clarity to it?
Yeah, LSU beat Georgia the week before. Florida beat LSU.
Oh, Florida did beat LSU.
Yep.
I apologize.
Ooh. Now I think I'm on the wrong side.
That's a little tasty, see?
Because now it looks like this should be obvious.
Yeah.
Now I want to change it, but I won't. Do you have the Topps read?
I know I don't.
We want to thank our friends at Topps for coming over today. They brought us pizza, and they also brought us pizza ingredients.
Right.
So you can go to toppsmarkets.com and enter the promo code TOPSWGR for $15 off your first order. And they have Take It, Bake It, or Make It with their pizza promotion right now.
We did a little of the making of the pizza today.
We did that.
It was fun. You were horrible at it. You need some lessons.
Horrible.
You were horrible at it. Your pizza.
You didn't even have to do anything. Yours had sauce on it and cheese on it already.
I very much wanted to be able to make one, and I wasn't given the opportunity.
But there's
you piled yours up. You made like a mountain of ingredients on in the middle of the pizza. It's a bad job.
There's no way you could have been horrible at it because you had nothing to do.
Well, that's right.
But you might. That doesn't mean you're wrong.
I don't think you would have screwed up what I did, but you screwed up what you did. Badly.
Okay.
It was bad.
Well, it's too bad.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah. Only for you, really.
And I had this conversation with Kim Pegula. Mike Shope in Conversation is how it was labeled on our website and radio.com. You can find that under, I think it's under podcasts. And we've had a couple clips here and there, and people have been able to listen to that. Thank you for the feedback I've gotten. The entire conversation will air Sunday morning at 9. With the Bills playing Monday night, we have a little bit more flexibility on Sundays. So I'm going in with Kim Pegula Conversation. This goes back to the Charger game. It was like a month ago. And so we'll have that for you. And then also there'll be a new In Conversation coming up in the next couple of weeks. But check that out if you would, please, Sunday morning. Then we'll have the game from London on live at 9:30, Eagles and Jaguars. John Clayton revealed to us that he has been on a committee that I never knew existed. I loved the idea of this and the short stories he told us and kind of the explanation of it that he gave us when telling us about it. So if you don't know what that is, stay tuned, and if you want, get in touch with us or me. Tell me what you think. I think it's really cool that this was a thing. John Clayton coming up for you. Then, the World Series tonight. Game 3, Red Sox-Dodgers here on WGR.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
John, it has happened. For the first time in almost 10 years, the Bills have a Monday night home game. Your thoughts?
You got to love it. It's a great chance to showcase the team and get a chance to have everybody take a look at it, have the nation look at Buffalo, all that stuff. Yeah, it's kind of rare, isn't it?
It's rare. So we want all that, is what you're saying?
Probably not.
Because
no.
If you'd have kept talking a little longer, I might have curled up in the fetal position.
Sorry about that.
I don't know, John. 2 weeks ago, you said the Bills better get Derek Anderson ready to play because you're worried that Josh Allen's going to get hurt. And
right.
He got hurt, and Peterman went in, and that was a mess again. Go figure. So Anderson had to go in, and that was kind of a mess. I mean, four turnovers. Maybe he shook off the rust with those and he'll be more stable moving forward, but four turnovers was not the steady veteran I think the Bills were looking for.
No, that's why I still think that the idea is they needed him in sooner rather than later, but I'm talking about, getting him more than a week of preparation so he can get a chance to learn the offense and be able to do some things. And so, yeah, it looked really ugly, and you kind of felt bad for Derek because, I'm sure that now you look around and say, okay, what direction do you go at quarterback? Because, every time it goes to Nathan Peterman, bad things happen, and now here's Derek trying to bail everything out, and it didn't happen. And now, oh, by the way, on Monday night they have to play the New England Patriots. Ouch.
Anderson, by the way, started against them the last time the Bills hosted a Monday night game at the stadium, and that was in 2008 when he played for Cleveland. John, Adam Schefter made a comment on a radio show yesterday that he thinks LeSean McCoy will be traded. Do you agree?
I think there's a chance, yeah. I mean, particularly, I guess maybe it hurts to a certain degree that it's a Monday night game because now you're really up against the deadline because now you get the game done, and next thing you know, you got literally 12, 13 hours to figure out what to do. But, yeah, I think that there is a chance because, you look at Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia just watched the Dallas Cowboys pick up Amari Cooper, and now Philly's going to be coming back from London, and they only have two running backs. And so you start to look at the landscape, and you see that the season is slipping away very quickly. The potential of a loss to the Patriots is going to be there. And so if you're going to be the Bills, as bad as it seems, you almost want to be sellers and see if you can get some value. And it's not the optimum thing to do, but I think there is a chance that could happen.
Do you think if the Bills did have plans to do that or even were just open to doing that they would want to keep him out of this game? He is still in the concussion protocol. He practiced, they say, on a limited basis anyway. What would the right way to approach that be?
Mm, might not be a bad idea not to put him in. Although, again, you want to still have the best possible team that you can out there. But if he's going to risk further injury and then be off the trade market, and it was almost like the Earl Thomas situation, because here's Earl Thomas. You know, they were still back and forth in Seattle whether to trade him or not trade him. He wanted to be traded, and then he breaks his leg. In the same leg that he did 2 years ago in the game against Arizona. So all of a sudden that's off. And then if you put him out there and he's still in concussion protocol and he gets worse, then the next thing you know, you don't get the value you might be able to get. So, no, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to think about holding him out.
And one more question I have about this. So you worked with Adam Schefter for a long time.
Yep.
We were talking about this earlier, and my guess would be that if he says on a radio show, I think McCoy gets moved, it's because he knows that, at least knows that the Bills would be open to it. Maybe he knows it'll happen. I don't know. Like, what do you, how do you read that? If you hear this, that he said,
just
I predict
kind of reading it. I think that, you know, more than likely he's talking to one of the trade teams, not necessarily the Bills, and getting the idea that he could be had. That's
okay.
Why I think that, you know, I'm not saying it's Howie Roseman from the Eagles, but maybe somebody from the Eagles that kind of says, hey, this thing's still in play, and if that's going to be the case, again, he's not saying that there's definitely going to trade him. What he's saying is that he very well could be traded, and if that's the case, my guess, it probably comes from a team like Philadelphia or other teams that may be looking at running backs.
John, what do you think would be a good trade for the Bills?
A good trade for the Bills would probably be a 2 or a 3. I don't know if he can get that value, because I think, as you can see, you know, there's two things working against getting, because again, everybody in the league values 1s, 2s, and 3s. I mean, if you look at the trade charts and see, you know, the 94 trades, I mean, you only have like about a handful that involve first round, second round, and third round picks. I mean, and so it's rarer to get a second round pick, but I think that you know, more than likely it could be a third or fourth, because the thing that works against getting the value is that, you know, is LeSean McCoy worth a first round pick? Probably. Could you get a first round pick? No way. Two things that work against him. One, he's 29 going on 30. Two, he's got $9 million on a contract. And so you're picking up the contract and that discounts. That's why, for example, an Amari Cooper, who's 24 and still in somewhat of his rookie deal, could go for a number one, and an Earl Thomas couldn't get a number two because, again, you have the age, the contracts, and that pulls down the value as far as the trade market.
What do you think of the Cooper trade?
I think it was necessary. I mean, I know it probably was a little overpriced, but then you know, if you're now Jerry Jones and you're the gambling guy, that you know that the Eagles were out there offering a 2, and so what you don't want to do is have him go over against you, and so if you have to bump it up a little bit, you bump it up and you give a number 1. But when I look at that receiving core and you start to think that Cole Beasley is the number 1 guy, where, you know, even on the Bills he might not be any more than just a number 3, I think they were desperate enough to do it. I mean, you're still in the evaluation stage on Dak Prescott, and this is now the second straight year they were limited in the number of options that they have for him to throw the ball to. You know, last year they had no separation with speed at the receiver position, and there's a lot of that this year. So it may have been a little bit overpriced, but I think it needed to be done.
What do you think John Gruden is trying to accomplish here, John? Like, we with one of our guests, I don't think it was you last week, like, we talked about him, and Mike gave him a lot of credit for maybe having this big vision, and I thought he was just being sort of insane and is going to get fired in a few years. He's got a 10-year contract. Now I'm wondering more about the big picture and 3 number one picks, and I don't know, does it not make sense that if he thought Derek Carr was his long-term answer at quarterback, that you wouldn't be trading good young players off your team like Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think as a because again, clearly he's the one making the decisions on these, and he's just making bad decisions. Now, again, the Cooper thing, you know, you can even see the players are now reacting negatively to that because, you know, they take Cooper, they pull him off the field Monday, practice is going on, and he doesn't even tell the players after practice that the trade was made, and they have to find out about it through social media and, you know, just checking their iPhones. And so that was bad. And then you look at every decision that he seems to be making as far as personnel, and it doesn't get the team necessarily better. yeah, it's nice to be able to get three number one picks, but again, you don't know if those values for the number one picks are going to be equal to what you're giving up. And in the case of Mac, in the case of Cooper, I know Cooper, to a certain degree, has been a little bit of a disappointment in the last 2 years. You know, this is not a good draft next year for wide receivers. You're not going to get an Amari Cooper talent with what they're probably getting. Yeah, you may be able to get a quarterback because they're going to be drafting at the top of the draft, you know, one, two, or three. But, you know, you're not going to have the success that I think that these guys have had. And even if you trade Derek Carr after the season, you may not get a quarterback as good as him. So right now, I think he's going down a very bad path.
Let's get back to the Bills. John Clayton with us. The Bills hosting New England on Monday Night Football. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 716 here on WGR. So see if I can spit out the question, the kind of question I'm thinking of here. So Derek Anderson is the quarterback as Josh Allen is hurt. And, you know, what comes from this, right? Like, you've got a 2-5 team that just lost 37-5 in Indianapolis. New England is a 14-point favorite. You know, that's the halfway point of the season, and maybe Anderson has to stay in a little longer. We'll see about that. What do you want to what can Bulldog and I try to figure out about the Bills while Derek Anderson is their quarterback, you know?
Well, I mean, I think with Derek Anderson, a quarterback trying to learn a system, you probably learn a lot about the defense because, you figure the defense is going to be on the field for probably a pretty long period of time because if the offense can't generate much and if LeSean McCoy doesn't play, you know, how gruesome is that going to be? And you're seeing some of the worst offensive numbers as it is. So I don't know if you really if you're learning something, it's probably something you don't want to learn the way it's going right now.
Yeah, like I don't know what to do, really. I mean, plus, you know, defense is so all over the place in the league now with all the passing and all the scoring. I mean, this has really been shown to be true that it's only the very rare team that can keep up, like Seattle did or Denver, even up to 3 years of consistent excellence on defense. I mean, look at Jacksonville this year, right?
Right.
Was there any reason, if you didn't understand this part or realize this, was there really any reason to think that Jacksonville would not dominate on defense again? But, I mean, Dallas scored 40 points on them. So,
well, they've given up 90 points in the last 3 weeks, and this is a defense that has eight Pro Bowl starters, eight that have been to the Pro Bowl, and not one that's missed a game because of an injury. I mean, it's a healthy defense. It's just not playing very well right now. And so what you wonder is that that they all get caught up in the swagger that they had from last year and start reading their clippings and not worrying about playing as well, because clearly the defense is underachieving like mad, and they're getting nothing out of the offense and probably won't because of all the injuries that they have. So it's a bad, bad situation, but somehow, some way, that defense has to pick it up. If not, their season is lost.
John, I want to get back to trades, and not like any one trade specifically, but like I wonder if you've thought at all about or written at all about the fact that it seems right to say there have been more trades in the last couple of years, and here we're heading to the deadline, and you already had this big Cooper trade. You had the Browns trade Carlos Hyde to Jacksonville, and there seems to be, you know, we cover hockey here, and the trade deadline in hockey in February is like it's crazy time, and there's usually like 30 to 40 trades in the league at trade deadline. Baseball can be similar, basketball. Football's never really been like that, in part because maybe the deadline is so early in the year as opposed to these other sports that are almost, you know, two-thirds, if not three-quarters of the way through their seasons. Do you think there's some explanation for what has changed in football that we're seeing more teams open to dumping players, you know, a month and a half into the season?
Well, part of it is that you have a younger group of general managers that have come in, and they're not afraid to make a decision on somebody that's been with the team for 2 or 3 years in their rookie contract and be willing to trade them. Secondly, I think that now you get to the third year, because I mean, what you're seeing, particularly in this past week, you're seeing a bunch of 2016 draft choices are being moved. And so what you're looking at is that now you're going to be heading with those players into the fourth year, and you have to determine, it's like, okay, are we going to be able to pay him a second contract? And if we don't think that's the right case to do, we might as well try to get value or try to at least acquire something. And so that's going on. And so, you know, because the money is just so different. Like, for example, if they thought that Eli Apple was a great player and they wanted to keep him, then you have to start paying him $14 to $15 million a year. clearly because of, I guess, the way that he's acted and not performed and kind of caused problems last year. They thought, okay, well, we're a seller right now. We're out of it. We'll try to get some value, and they got a fourth-round pick and a seventh-round pick. So that's where that goes. And so I think you've got more of that going on, and I think that more general managers are realizing it's like, hey, even if I have to take a fourth-round pick or less for a player, I'm going to make that move because if he's not going to be in the long-term future and the season's pretty well out because now I'm 1-6 or 2-5 or whatever, let's make the move.
Just checking Twitter as we're talking because I wanted to make sure I had your Twitter address, your handle right. And I don't know if I should have questioned myself, but I wanted to check at John Clayton NFL. And I've got two interesting comments from listeners. One is it was Brady Quinn and not Derek Anderson who started for Cleveland in the Monday night game. So thanks for that correction. I mean, it's a mistake. Browns and Bills quarterbacks is about as hard as there is for trivia. And the other thing is, and I don't know, John, like, I don't want to be too cynical or anything, but a listener tweets us to say, what are they thinking when they put New England at Buffalo on Monday Night Football?
Well, I mean, I think what they're thinking is that, number one, they particularly if you're ESPN, you want as many New England games because they're really hard to come by because, you may get one a year and you're not going to necessarily get the best New England game. I mean, you're not going to get maybe New England Kansas City or New England Pittsburgh. That's just the way that they kind of distribute it. And so that the thinking number one is to get New England because usually they're the best ratings you can get overall because you get Tom Brady. And then secondly, I think that they gambled and unfortunately gambled incorrectly that the Bills were a team on the rise because they made the playoffs last year. So they're thinking, okay, here's a maybe a playoff-caliber Bill team. Of course, they didn't probably realize that the quarterback situation was going to be in flux like it was when they were getting the schedule together. But
they
again, so much of it is just the chance to get New England, and unfortunately, I don't think the rating is going to be great on this one.
We'll continue our conversation with John Clayton after this short timeout. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Happy Friday. We'll have the World Series for you in about 15 minutes or so. Right now we're talking to John Clayton about football, mostly.
It was ESPN that would ask you that, or was the NFL?
ESPN. No, ESPN.
Okay, because it was their entity.
Right, because again, we're all working together, and they wanted to use my expertise and Adam's expertise and Mort's expertise. Hey, what do you think? Is this team going to be good next year or not good? And so I would go through, my research and my database and look to see, okay, nah, this team's going to lose this in free agency, or no, they're in pretty good shape here because they're going to be able to do that, and then make some kind of projection on who can be good and who's not. And so I did that for, 15, 16 years.
As if I could admire you more. Now you're telling us that you were on a conference call every year where ESPN would ask you to help it make the Monday Night Football schedule? Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
Hold on.
No.
And did that ever lead to friction, John? Like, did you ever suggest to them somebody and wrong and, did the CEO call you? Like, what did you – hey, they're 0-6, John. What the hell were you thinking?
No, they were real good about it because, usually I'd get the contact the third week of December and then to start working on it. And then, one of the problems with putting the schedule together, when you have by the combine, they're pretty well figuring out which way it's going to go schedule-wise, even though they don't tell the networks until April and that, when it's finally going to get what you're going to get and all that stuff. But, because they don't get the benefit of being able to see a full free agency when you put in for the bids on the games.
Thanks for listening today. Bulldog and I have a long weekend, 2 days, and we'll be back with you on Monday at 3 from the stadium for the Monday night game. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Call it a night.
The part is over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.